regarding the cost of the monthly publication of the PCA Messenger and any future plans for expansion of its role.
Mr. Moderator, the last issue was 22,000 copies, and it cost $5,500. The mailing list has grown to 24,000, so that is not an exact figure, but that tells you the area we're in.
Okay. The speaker at mic 15 is recognized.
George Gully, Grace Presbytery. I move that recommendation 6 be amended to add the following sentence: that the PCA Messenger be authorized to accept paid advertisements at the discretion of the editor and apply such revenues to the cost of publication. Anything in the original plan of the 4th General Assembly, page 85, number 16, notwithstanding.
The motion has been made and seconded, but excuse a minute, the stated clerk has some information for us, if you'll bear with us.
Wait until we finish with point number 6.
Okay. You may proceed, sir. It's been seconded.
Mr. Moderator, I'm gravely concerned at the lack of financial support for something so important to this denomination as the Messenger. And I see no objection that we could offer, looking at precedents, in taking paid advertisements from sound Christian educational institutions, such as Reformed Seminary, publication outfits, camps and conferences, and things of that nature for our official publication. I think that it's part of Christian education, and we should be apprised of new publications, for instance, that might come in paid advertisements, or camps and conferences that we might otherwise not know of. I think it would be prudent on the part of the Assembly to allow the Messenger to take paid advertisements.
We're now discussing the amendment to item 6. The speaker at mic 7 is recognized.
Mr. Moderator, I'm Fred Thompson, Calvary. I would like to speak against the main motion. Is that in order or not?
We're discussing the amendment now.
Yes.
Just wait till that time, please, sir.
Yes.
The speaker at mic 9 is recognized.
Mr. Moderator, Don Clement, Central Georgia. I rise to speak against that amendment. The facts are that by putting advertising in that magazine, we would raise a minute portion of any of the revenues needed to publish it. I have just consulted with an experienced editor in the business. He convinces me that it's very minimal. Secondly, it is the desire of your Committee on Christian Education to be as non-controversial as possible. And I guarantee you that when we pick and choose between prospective advertisers, you're going to put us in a bind. People will be mad because we include somebody. People will be mad because we don't include somebody. And I think the value that seems to be implied by the motion that would help us raise our budget is really of such minimal value that the problems caused would be overriding. And I urge you to vote down the amendment.
Do you wish to speak to the amendment?
No, sir, I do not wish to speak to the amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment to item 6? Mike, no. Okay. Are you prepared to, or ready to vote on this amendment? If so, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. I'll ask the clerk to read this amendment to item 6, so you all understand on what we're voting. I think you do, but just want to be sure. Okay.
That the PCA Messenger be authorized to accept paid advertisements at the discretion of the editor and apply such revenues to the cost of publication. Anything in the original plan of the 4th General Assembly notwithstanding.
All in favor of this amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment fails. We're back to the main motion. The speaker, Mike Stanton, he'd like to speak.
Yes, sir. Mr. Moderator, I would like to speak against the monthly publication
of the Messenger.
I know that the CENP committee has worked hard. I think that it is a very fine publication. I think that it shares with the denomination information that is needed. I also feel like that it overlaps with other publications that we now see. We're going to be paying for it through the nose, whether we like it or not, I don't think it's necessary. I don't think that it brings
anything
that we're not getting from other sources. I know that the CENP committee has
got anything
pressed, and I would like to see this motion defeated. Thank you.
It's financially pressed.
Speaker, to Mike 11, do you wish
against the Mr. Moderator, I'd like to ask a question again.
Pause.
What's the question, sir?
Please take the question.
The chairman did not answer my question previously. I asked him for a schedule of the items that were included in that I asked him a total. I'd like to know if it cost of $6,500.
He merely gave me
the salaries of writers, space calls, and all the others
include
that would normally go in making up the cost of putting out a publication.
Include
the cost of postage and outside printing.
And does it merely?
The latter is the case. The cost of printing it and distributing it.
In that case,
I would then like to ask the committee to provide for the edification of the
Mr. Moderator,
the full cost of publishing the messenger, because
Assembly, the
late for us to wait until we get to the report of the Committee of Administration.
Now, I think it's too
late. That is included in the budget for the messenger, and then I already have a
knowledge calculation
of it, and say the true cost might run $10,000 to $12,000
to do the publication.
And so I think that if we're going to vote on this thing and do it
month, we don't know.
Informed intelligently, we should know what the cost is.
Well,
Mr. Donahue, I think, has that information all year.
These figures are, Mr. Moderator, these figures will be in the
proposed budget.
The Committee on Administration will bring to us.
The proposed budget
for going to a monthly, now this includes everything
suggested,
power of an editor. We estimate to be in the next
$78,000
total package.
Neighborhood annual.
That's annual. Okay, thank you, Mr. Donahue.
The 16
is recognized.
Mr. Moderator, Rodney King, Western Carolina.
Speaker Mike,
there's an amendment. I'd like to add, following the word
proposed,
the wording, but not until such time as the MCENP committee has received at least 80% of the budget for three consecutive months. End of the amendment
of the month.
Senate read as printed.
Is there a second to this amendment?
The
amendment is second. May we have a copy of it too, please?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
My concern is not with the issue of whether or not we desire a monthly publication
of
the funding. The Assembly has spoken several times to the fact that the Assembly that we desire a publication of our own. The problem is essentially financial. The committee is, with this amendment, allowed to make plans. However, if the giving is insufficient, then they are
to
leave off those plans or to postpone them. And if the president was giving, I would believe that would be the case. So I would move you for this amendment and
it's ready to
adopt. And
copy of that amendment. Anyone like to speak for or against the amendment? Mike 13, sir.
I'm Lauren Watson from Calvary Presbytery. I would like to speak against this amendment that was made because we would be attaching to this particular item his work a proviso that is not attached to any other part of it. We would think that this work couldn't go on unless the budget was overall met.
But we don't.
This seems to be an unfair attachment to this one particular project or anything else. And in view of the fact that it, in my judgment, is a high priority item, perhaps we ought to attach the provider to something else and let them go with the magazine item.
Do you desire to speak for or against it?
If
anyone want to speak for, the speaker, Mike 5, is recognized.
I wish to speak against the amendment, because I believe that the full issue isn't clear to the Assembly. We obviously don't have $80,000 to spend.
If we had it,
it would pay for itself and give us more.
The whole issue has
gotten to us in a cluttered way.
There were overtures on the whole issue
which are not dealt with directly in the report, though I presume
they are implicitly dealt with
in this section.
Covenant Presbytery has
a newspaper
which is distributed to 2,400 people
in the church
for $400. We are confusing the cost of the present magazine format and the cost of a compliance communication on a monthly basis. If we adopt this amendment, it precludes the possibility of our changing the format to one which could be handled, for example, for $20,000. We could handle this in the same style as the Herald of the Covenant, with all the frills for $40,000, and I suspect for a lot less than that. There are publicly dollars, 20,000 circulation, 8-page newspaper tabloids, that without the cost of the editor, that is the simple mechanical cost, are running $1,000 a month. That's $12,000 a year, not $78,000 a year.
$1,000 a
year. Covenant Presbytery has the problem which most of the Assembly has of being scattered all over three states. Many presbyteries are like that. We have trouble raising $20,000 and $30,000 for our work than the 2,000 people we had. When we went to the monthly newspaper format, presenting the entire program and financial need of our presbytery, we met and passed the $55,000 budget, which I think is comparable to any presbytery in the Assembly, even those which have several congregations comparable to the size of our entire presbytery. Everybody knows the Herald. We have a problem with communication. Anyone who's familiar with public, everybody knows that they can be used in such a way that they pay for themselves and the services. No, we could turn this into a profit venture in the program, donating it free. If we were simply to change the style even to something that has been demonstrated to be effective already, all in the format. You see, we don't just have one paper, but we have two in effect, the Assembly's paper and the President's paper. That Presbytery paper is as big a financial security as the Assembly's paper is a law. Yes, the 50 amendment can proceed to deal with the larger issue of communication.
So that we can seek for the amendment
to see that my 16 is recognized.
Anyway, this is Bill 15, New River Presbytery.
For the sake of simplification, if we were to take the amount we have on hand and the amount we simply spend and put them in columns opposite each other, and if we don't have as much in the column we want to spend as the column of need is, we've got to have as much in the column where the need is. And it seems like that this amendment would speak to the task of cutting something that is less needed than something with less. There's enough on hand in that column to support it. There's not the money there for it. We just did not and cannot spend it. So I don't think it's for this amendment.
Okay.
I think that Mike Penn is recognized.
I'd like to call for the question. Question has been called for. All in favor of the call for the
question, please say aye. Opposed, no. Call for aye.
Mr. Moderator. Chairman of the committee, may I speak?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. I simply want to clarify something. That is that the format of the messenger was directed by the previous two assemblies. is not the committee by decision. This is the decision of the General Assembly last year and the year before. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Miller. Now, if you will read the amendment. After Kirkman, after September, but not until such a time as the NCEMP committee has received at least 80% of their money for at least 3 consecutive months. The rest of the recommendation will not be submitted. All in favor of this amendment, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment fails. We're not about to see the year before.
No.
Excuse me. 12 is recognized. Brethren, we've come to have some voices from the Florida Presbytery. But I think we've come to an for this General Assembly. It's far more significant, perhaps, than many of us realize. As you go about in these United States talking to people and trying to say something about the Presbyterian in America, a great question is raised. A lot of people ask, who are you? What are you? You can refer to the Westminster Standard, as many people have told me, who are you? They immediately say, yes. Those are the same standards held by the Presbyterian Church Evangelical Synod, the Reformed Presbyterian Church in North America, the Orthodox Church, the Reformed Presbyterian Ad Infinitum. That isn't the answer. This church is now a banner. It has needed it for 5 years. A banner that takes me by and shall represent by the news that it gives to it and by its articles concerning what we believe. A banner that will fly over the entire area of the world where we are located. A banner that says, this is the PCA and this is what it says to the world. It's been such a banner for a long time. The messenger has been a valiant attempt. He is using it now. And the moment that banner goes out and begins to fly, people are going to begin. But we, the Presbyterian Church, I hate this negative attitude that because we don't have $80,000 available, we can't go. This thing will fly. And it'll be out advertising. If we present a good paper in the United States and wherever we have a constituency, but beyond that, this being the United States needs another thing besides that banner. It needs a unifying nomination. It needs to be brought together. The moment we have 4 separate forces operating in 4 separate areas with 4 separate public committees, we are saying that we're not unified, that we're divided. The reason for the CDMP committee's name was that it would have under it the area of publication. Now, this is properly seated. And we need a banner that will say, yes, we're interested in any place. We are a missionary church. We are a church that believes in a biblical foundation in mission education. We are a church that believes in extending ourselves in other churches in the United States and mission of the U.S. And that, brethren, is going to be said in this month within the United States. And people are going to rally around that banner. Let's not be afraid of 7 magazines. If we are not afraid of 5 million in one area of the church, then for goodness sake, let's concentrate now on this. This is peanuts. For goodness sake, let's... And we need it. The speaker, Mike, Jeff and I, yeah, the moderator's indulgence, I hope I'm not 11 too often on this question, is Tom Leppard of Angel Presbytery. Now, I'm seeking some information from the chairman and the permanent committee chairman. I'd like to speak against that. I've got a recommendation. And I'd like to point out to the court that the information given by the permanent, the coordinator, not the permanent chairman, that they added $12,000 to the figure that we already had. And I've seen this is the salary figure for an editor, and which I doubt is that. I've seen this the salary of a qualified editor, does not cover the cost of art etiquette, does not cover the cost of typing and proofreading and all the other many things that may include being popular and included in the cost of art. I don't know that I'm sure my buddies have not been busy with publication, but that there's probably many, much more cost involved in it, I think, and a total of $78,000. I think that in this,
the other item to which the committee has not had time or leave to devote to this date. I know that it severely handicaps for example, I just asked each of our publications which tells where our church stands on various matters, and I've requested this type publication. I've requested a publication of the history of our democracy from our committee, and the response that I get nomination that, we're going to be there eventually. And I'd like to see if you have such publications available by the churches at this time.
Mr. Moderator,
yes, dear, and before you put the matter of whether you want to extend time, I've been waiting for you to take the time, but I have a matter of urgency if the chairman will yield on this matter.
I will yield, sir.
Mr. Moderator, I would like to ask the floor. Let Reverend Don Estee of the Interchurch Relations come and make a presentation of the coming to the assembly.
Is the objection from the
assembly? Yes,
at this time on the program. Very nice to see that.
Mr.
Moderator, fellow commissioners of the General Assembly, I'm happy to come esteemed visitors from Korea. They come from the Korean Presbyterian Church, which has a denomination of 750 Korean Presbyterians and 3,500 churches. As a member, John Kim is going to introduce them and interpret for them. They're not going to speak, but he's going to introduce them. And he's from Los Angeles, from the Christian Reformed Church. John Kim, will you come forward with your group, please, and introduce them? Welcome.
Dr. Kim,
I'd like to introduce my colleague, Reverend Lee, a pastor of the Central Christian Church in Southern Korea.
And also,
he's clerk of the General Assembly.
Also, his
next to him is the Reverend
Lee,
and he is a pastor of the Sihaki, of the a Korean Christian in Church,
and he's a pastor of
Pagu, Korea. And,
Elder Paul Senior
is serving as the chairman of the board of the foreign mission. And Mr. He comes from the General Assembly of Korean Church, Hapta. Korea is very familiar to me as a successful mission team of your church. I pray that God will bless your church very much. Yes.
이번에
이 통해가 관련 한 펜타스탄에 이렇게 모이게 돼 방문하게 된 것을
관리지
우리 통해를 대표해서 진심으로 감사를 드립니다.
나의
대표를 드려야지 미리
한국을
represent는 the Hapkong Christian
General Assembly
and the particularly occasion to meet the reform body
wonderful
Calvin College.
여러분이 어쨌든 참석은 인후 선교 가르치로 되었다. 여덟 분 학생아들이 우리 교단과 들리는 지금도 인후 선교 가르치를 하고 있습니다. 이 생활이 필요했던 그 설명이 있었지. 여러분들, 그래도, 그 레이터, 닥터 런더스, 여기, 그래요. 과거를 생각해보면, 이 당연한, 이 대한민국 장로의 이 합동식 장로를, 이 시기와 장 반팔 역할을 하셨습니다. 키워주실 또한, 그, 많은 역경을 나한테 있었지. 나는 아, 저의 선교 지역을 가지고 있던 남장로 교회가, 신학생 입장에서, 어려운 가운데서, 고생한다는 소문이
들어갔지.
And, we heard that we were, had a same problem, we are facing
yesterday.
And, we thought that that problem, yes, a problem to be dealt with
very serious. Yes.
So it's common and,
We have to do it.
나의 재미로서, 동지로서, 앞으로 우리들의
좋은 그런
행동을 바랍니다. As I see you, face to face, I am so confident that God will bless your kid and struggle, and I pray that your kid having a same struggle,
I kid enough,
you're going hand in hand,
and see you start.
Work together for the strengthening of his kingdom and fight there. 저희들은 처음에 분열될 때에, 800개에 불과했으나, 이제는
3,500개 약
편의당했지. When we, left
WCC로
편의당했지, we had only,
WCC, 1,500.
But now, within a few decades, we are
less than even.
We are now having
35 people speaking.
작년 5월에서 작년 5월까지 한 해 동안에 280교회가
새로 개최했지.
Last year alone,
From last May, June here, up until this May, our church enjoyed the end of the Okay, sir. It's just we need to vote on. Yes, to be recognized as speaker. Mr. Moderator, I think it needs to be clarified. One thing, we do not intend to mislead the assembly. The 78,000 figure includes salaries, typists, paper, and all the full cost, I suppose, other than the city of within the committee's offices that is involved in publishing the Messenger Monthly. That includes that work, whatever in there. Thank you. Whatever is involved. You can hit the vote. Mr. Moderator, we're in a little bit of confusion. The gentleman at number 9, if he could tell us whether this has ever been amended at all, or we've just got to the main motion.
That's the main motion, yes.
I have a question. Does our approval of eliminate the possibility of giving advice to the committee
about considering
format and other styles? Are we voting to maintain the messenger as it is, or to maintain the monthly publication? Does the committee have any flexibility? The committee of commissioners has erred in reporting because it was not reported because typically as I read our report on the overture we got. I would think that if this youngster had informed me adopting what is in the recommendation of the case simply has nothing to say about format.
The committee that has.
I don't want to get out on a limb and have it cut off behind me, but am I correct, members of the permanent committee and staff
here and have it cut?
Don Fleming. For clarification, Resolution 6 says, in accordance with the original plan adopted by the 4th General Assembly.
Now, the original
plan that was reaffirmed last year,
and if you vote in that original,
reaffirmed this year, says we'll go with the format we've got.
Yes, you'll be
not with the format recommended by Covenant Secretary.
We've got.
Yeah, I stand corrected.
At what point will
the overture be dealt with?
You have
to have a meeting of the committee of commissioners. You have to bring your
IMI report.
A supplementary. Then you do. If that comes up with on format, will it have been precluded by adopting this advice? And
I would not think so, but that's the problem. Matters with moderators rule on.
Parliamentary matters. We are now proceeding to vote on item 6. There's been considerable debate. I'm going to interrupt him.
Item 6
had it explained there on page 715. All of you have.
Item 6.
All in favor? Yes, sir, Mike 15.
Not over, Alan.
Well, you 32.
I move that we can postpone the vote on this until after we have been with the overture and handle that.
We've already been called for, really out of order.
Thank you, sir.
Moderate, put the question to you. All in favor of item 6, recommended by the committee, will indicate by saying aye.
All opposed by
no. Moderator will read the ayes, have it opposed, is no.
It is now at least the time for our work.
No, they have not, Mr. Kerr.
Mr. Moderator, we're having a PFP matter that needed to be
taken
very briefly, very quickly. The nominating committee, there seems to be a excuse at 1 p.m. There will be a brief meeting, an urgent meeting of the nominating committee today at 1 p.m. in the room to the, but the auditorium. And they do need excuse, and let me bring, read in the left. We're also needing excuse. Committee on Mission to the U.S.
Another
one request permission of the Assembly to meet in committee meeting room. That doesn't tell you whether that's a permit or committee or commissioner. Can somebody enlighten us? Permit Committee on Mission to the U.S. request to be excused at one committee meeting room. You're going to need
excuse to meet in it.
Mr. Moderator, I move that we grant the two excuses to those two committees.
Here, no, those
two excuses. Then we have the following announcement about the
session.
Christian Education and Publications Committee of Commissioners is to meet in the coffee room.
I'm not sure.
After worship, upstairs here. Immediately after the worship. Education and Publication Committee of Commissioners. The Review and Control of the Presbyteries is requested to meet at the podium at the beginning of the committee on recess after immediately following the worship to set a time to meet the beginning of the Lent Public Spirit Report. And then I have an announcement here and Commissioner John R. Dodd is present. He's asked to meet Commissioner E. Smith having to do with handbook. I think maybe there's a mix up on handbook. And then there is Mid-Atlantic Secretary be dismissed at the end of the nominating committee.
It's a request
this evening. Let me just suspend that and do that later.
Committee business.
Mr. Moderator, I believe those are all of the announcements at this time.
It is now time for our worship service in the
committee.
Before I get out of committee on administration, Reverend Patterson is in charge, and I'd like to remind you that after we recess, we will reconvene at 1 o'clock as you voted earlier today. Reverend Patterson.
Yeah, thank you.
Let us begin our worship as we sing hymn 382. We will remain standing to confess the Lord in the words of the Apostles' Creed and for the invocation. Hymn 382.
That's it.
Yeah.
Father believe in, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born in Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, who descended into hell, the third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand, he is the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting. Amen. Almighty and eternal God, our Father, thou who confess with our lips, we invoke thee that with us and thy blessing upon us, that in thee thy presence, our thoughts, our minds, our affections, our sentiments may be lifted above the work that we are doing, them upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that in this we may worship him in such a way that his name may be magnified and glorified. We pray that his might your minister, who will break to us the word of faith that you would in us, that he may speak that which you would have us to hear.
Right.
Grant that our hearts and minds may be opened and receptive to the word of faith. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Savior, even the dear
word of God, as Reverend Gordon read it in, they bring to us the scripture and found the need
the time.
Our scripture lesson this morning from the book of Philippians, the second chapter. You have your Bible, and you take and follow along as I read this. I'm reading from the New American Version, if you like it, whatever version you may have before you.
Even if you have candy,
the New Testament, that's all right too. You can open that up and follow along as I read the Greek. Paul, in speaking to the church at Philippians, said these words, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which words have been preserved by words and the Holy Spirit, which words may be illumined to our hearts by his divine working power, even today. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of any, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any love and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind,
main complete
the same love, united in spirit, hanging on one purpose. Do nothing from interest or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as
his more
important than himself. Do not merely mourn for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of us.
Look at
have this attitude in yourself, also in Christ Jesus, who, although he is
the
Son of God, did not regard equality with God as gifted in grasp, but emptied himself, taking him to become of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled by becoming obedient to the point of death,
eat himself
on a cross. Therefore also God highly
exalted
him and bestowed on him the name which is above every
name,
that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, those who are in heaven and on earth
and under the
earth, and that every tongue should confess,
Jesus
Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
That Jesus
will you join me in just a moment of prayer? O Holy Spirit, give us the word. Come now and illumine the word to our hearts. That as we speak and hear together,
we may be
obedient servants of thine, whom we confess and who we are. And may thy mighty power work within us not to give understanding, but to transform us,
not only to get
by the renewing of our minds, that we be not conformed to the evil world. We ask this in the name of and for the glory of the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory of our
Before I bring this message this morning to you,
first opportunity I've ever had to address the General Assembly is to take that capacity, save that of presenting or defending or attacking in any other case. And I would like, not for the Assembly to be fair to, but I would like to contribute in the presence of the whole General Assembly. To my dear wife, who is present today, he has assembled the one General Assembly since the Presbyterian Church came as missing America came into existence. And by his encouragement and help, I'm able to stand before you today and proclaim that he cares. And I would also like to pay tribute to another, a high word of God. And that is to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I would tribute. And he expressed gratitude that is inexpressible to him. And, taking away my sin for writing my book of life and for assuring me that I'm accepting in God's presence because of him. Not long ago, in this house, I was spending a few days in the hospital. A doctor friend said to me, and I said, why have you tried to carry such a load? And he said something wrong. Of course, to that could only be because someone I only had carried a load for me long ago. And I just like to take care of my care to my wife, and to my wonderful Savior today, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who we are. I'd like to apologize to some of you who are here today, just to follow, and I would like, a certain con artist, not a Presbyterian church in America ministry, but a certain con artist, who had a certain conversion, decided to make it big and yet it's still preacher. He built himself a large tabernacle, so he decided some wash tubs to take the offering in, and was very full and bold, appearing on television, doing all of the things that a successful preacher not does. And much to his chagrin, when he was addressing an actually day, about 5,000 people one night, he looked down on the front row, and there was a former fellow convict from whom he had stolen some money. And with the presence of mind that he had said might probably only a preacher in the first Church of America, he said, my text tonight is from the 27th page of the Gospel of John, and the first verse. If thou hearest me and knowest me, speak not, and I shall die fearfully with thee hereafter. The advantage. Some of you who are here today, some of the things I'm going to say today at the graduation exercises, I've reformed seminar, and to you I say, exercise, and I shall reward thee bountifully afterwards. Speak not, and in this epistle, the apostle mentions the glory of and gold, after which the church is to strive, for which it is to pray, is to labor, being of the same mind, which it is to maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. A marvelous spirit. And then he tells us the means by which this goal may be achieved when he says, do nothing from disdainfulness or empty conceit. And every single passage word ought to be underlined. With humility of mind, let each of you regard one another. He is more important than himself. That's the means by which these glorious goals will be achieved. The means. And it is to be expressed as humility of mind by not looking for our own personal interest, but rather for the interest of others. In other words, in a loving ministry of service to each other, the humility of mind will be expressed. It's in the example in which we are to labor, in which we are to express and loving service and humility of mind, is to be found, if you in these words, have this attitude in yourself as you practice this loving ministry and humility. Have this attitude, pattern after this one, this attitude in yourself, which is also in Christ Jesus. This attitude. So we come to what I is the focal point of this scripture that is before. And that part of the scripture that I would want to lift up before you, and by this I would exhort you in the Lord today, and exhort myself in the Lord. That is the biblical absolute. And God requires of us the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in our relationship to each other. And more specifically, that spirit of humility, let this mind be in you.
it was also in Christ Jesus, and then he began to spell out and to detail and to paint the picture of that mind which is in Christ Jesus. And it is to be summed up in one word, humility. One word, humility. He humbled himself. He took it on himself. But in all of this, the emphasis in what he did and in his life, his birth, his life, and his saving death, the emphasis is that in humility he did these things. And sometimes we think of biblicality only in propositional doctrine. But here is a biblical absolute from which we cannot escape without being unfaithful to the Scripture. Let this mind be in you. And sometimes when we stand on the floor of the assembly to argue a biblical absolute, we disobey this one by failing to let the mind of Christ be in us while we contend for the doctrine of Christ. And what a contradiction. What a contradiction not only of doctrine, but what a contradiction of who we claim to be. Who are we? We are officers of Jesus Christ. There is but one officer in the church. And that officer is the Lord Jesus Christ. And those who serve as ministers of the Word are appointed by Jesus Christ to represent Him directly as His officer in the church. And those who exercise the office of rule are appointed and ordained by Jesus Christ to be His elder in the church, ruling in His name and in His place. And those to whom the service of the diaconate has been committed have that service given to them by the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the true deacon of the church, and He appoints men to exercise that function, that office. And therefore, if we are to labor as His ambassadors, as His officers, we have no choice. We must labor in His spirit and with His mind. Let this mind be in you, especially in you. Let you represent Him to the church. Yet I fear that as we think about these things, that they become more serious in fact. I fear that perhaps the greatest sin among those of us who are known as ministers of the Word is the sin of pride. Expressed not only sometimes when you come together in church court, but expressed so often before the flock, looking to us as an example of those who will have the mind of Christ, what do they see? So often they see pride. So often they see a self-sufficiency that is not of the mind of Christ. If I were to take the Scripture and say what is the one most essential ingredient for a minister of the Word to possess, it is the spirit of humility in Jesus Christ. What is the rarest virtue among the ministry? The spirit of humility in Jesus Christ. What a tragedy. What a detriment to the church. Now, if this indeed then is to be the one crowning virtue of all, what is this humility in Jesus Christ, the mind of Christ? It certainly is not blind, self-effacing groveling, that we have no talent, no gift, that we go on continually demeaning ourselves and claiming to have no opportunity or a gift to offer. This is not humility, no pride in reverse. It's an expression of pride. It's a simple compliment. But biblical humility doesn't stem from weakness, but rather from strength. Not to be seen in our Lord Jesus Christ Himself when He stood before this truth, and then His life hung in the high. And when the high priest said, I adjure you by the living God, outside the Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing the Christ of His confession, said, Jesus, I am the more without you see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of glory. That was strength, beloved. It was glory. It was the greatest expression of authority that Jesus would see until He rose from the dead. I am, and moreover, thou wilt see me coming in clouds of glory. This is the test before the high priest at the cost of His life. But in just a few moments, He would bow His back to the whip. But in just He would stretch His body upon the cross. Humility. And He would flow some great strength of mind and great strength of spirit. Have you seen He is Christ? If humility then is not weakness, and does not flow from a self-effacingness, kindness to your God-given talent, precisely what is it? In blindness, perhaps Philip, when he translates this passage of Scripture, no matter how imperfect his translation may be, imperfect it is, nevertheless, is able, I think it may be, sir, the spirit of what Paul is saying better than any translation. Philip says, let Jesus Christ be your example as to what your attitude should be. For he who had always been God by nature did not cling to his prerogatives as God equal, but stripped himself of all privilege. And seeming to be a slave by nature, by being born as a white man, and having become a man, he humbled himself more than in a life of utter obedience, even to the extent of by him. And the death he died was that of a common man, no, not a perfect translation, but a sacrament of the spirit of what Paul was communicating, perhaps nothing that a translation is able to do. Here, this is what humility that is demanded of us is in about. Here's the heart of the example for all who in any office in his name. Was by the very ministry of his birth, the mighty Creator God humbled himself. He was in the beginning with God, he was God, and by him all things were made. But in the fullness of time, the mighty Word was made flesh, being confined to the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, therefore taking upon himself its free body and a righteous soul. Born a tiny, helpless baby in a crib stable, resting in his infant head and upon the bosom of Mary, yet in Bethlehem, dark street, shone the everlasting light, was the true light that lighteth every man who comes into the darkness. And from that point on, he lived a life of the world, only peasant in the meanest of circumstances, as a boy, and visiting in his father's house, and said to him, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business, and at the same time submitting himself to his parents. And yet he said who he was, from whom he had came, and why he had come into the world, and yet he submitted himself to his parents. Just remember that during those unknown years of obscurity, he remained ever as their God, equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, and subject of God in glory, and yet living in submission to power. Even after the public anointing by him, and he was acclaimed by John as God's Messiah, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, was baptized as a priest into the priesthood. The Holy Spirit descended upon him, and the voice from heaven said, the Holy Spirit said of no man who had ever been born, this is him, beloved Son, from whom I am well pleased. His mind, his demeanor remained one of lowliness, of meek, yet his of humility, and his life supported the doctrine that he proclaimed. The first sentence of the doctrine, the basic sermon he ever preached was, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor. He told his disciples quite plainly that the true greatness in the sight of God is the pathway of humility. Calling a little child to himself, he set the little child before his disciples and said, except you retire and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And went right on to say, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, therefore the same will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he called the weary, restless, seeking master to him. What did he say? Learn of me, for I am self-weak and lowly in heart, and thereby ye can find rest unto your soul. Consciously he warned his disciples against the sin of pride and the arrogance of the scribes and Pharisees. To those who had invested in their own righteousness, he told the parable of the publican and the Pharisee. Our text indicates the supreme example that his humility is not to be found in his birth or his life, but in his death, in its manner and in its meaning. Look at him just as he offered himself up for the sins of the world. See him in the upper room. For he asked the Lord and Master, laying aside his garments, girding himself with a towel, laying and washing the disciples' feet, and saying to what? If I, your Lord and Master, then this, You ought to be this one had matter. Sometimes I wonder if we exercise the same exegetical compulsions to prove our point of view on whatever point of church polity we're trying to prove, and what if we would use the simple doctrine, the simple statement of Christ, and apply some of the same principles to it that we've been applying, Christ would all be sitting around washing each other's feet, literally. But nevertheless, what the Lord was saying was, as an exercise in humble, loving service to one another, which must maintain, I do this as an example of King Spirit. And I've got service. And then there is his death. Think about it, brethren. The Lord, the Creator, the one about whom the holy angels in the vision of Isaiah abide, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The one in whom the Father was well pleased, submitted himself to death, tasting death for every man, drinking death, cup to its bitterest dregs, submitting himself and looking the humility to the shame and the pain of the cross. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he not his mouth. And by that example of life sacrificing, life giving up humility, he gave himself for our salvation. Now, he did it just say to you and to me about the example of what this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Again, I say it is not an option, it is a command. Augustine said the first thing in religion is humility. The second thing in religion is humility. The third thing in religion is humility. John Calvin, our great spiritual forefather in our theology, said this, speaking a hymn of praise to Jesus Christ, thou hast improved and perfect gentleness. Its harshness hath thou, and no bitterness. No milk aftertaste, the sweet grace found thee, and ever stay in thy divinity. Calvin understood the most essential point of theology was the kind of Jesus Christ, the example of his humility. Humility is not only basic to the ministry, but it's basic to repentance and faith. One will not repent of his faith until he has humbled himself before God and confessed him as a sinner. One will not trust only the saving blood of Jesus Christ until one is convinced in the nothing in my hand I bring, simply the cross I clean. A life that I can. Pleasing to God may only be lived by the one who takes seriously these words, I won't let this mind be in you. And perhaps even more to the point for those of us who are here today, even doing what we are doing, humility is the key that unlocks understanding to the future. And you will not have understanding of the Word of God without the mind of Jesus Christ and the spirit of humility. And the poor, Christ, humble, uneducated minister who has never the college, who has never learned the original language, who has never learned to express the scripture in good theology, will have a greater understanding of the scripture of you and of me, who have done all of these things, yet have not the spirit of humility. And we'll wonder why the church is casting and growing, and we'll sit back and we'll say, why he's not using biblical method. It's because he's compromising his faith. And the truth of the matter is, it may be compromised with the spirit of humility. He understands the word where you cause it to fail to understand it. But humility is the secret that unlocks the meaning of the scripture. Without it, we will not understand the scripture, nor will we minister it correctly. Humility is the grounds upon which our relationship to humility rests, and the grounds upon which our relation to God, each other, must rest. And without it, its relationship will soon turn sour. And I say with an aching heart, and then wet many tears, that I can see that unless we capture the spirit and come to the mind of Jesus Christ, we will not look at the mind sit together in the assembly. Long will not long be unified in mind and body. We will. I foresee that we will perhaps no longer, at the most, in a very few short years,
be one body. And let by the grace of God, we begin to receive this as one of the absolute scriptures. God, let this mind be in you. Let no man think of himself more highly than he ought. If any man thinks he knows anything, he knows anything, said Paul. All the goodness that we would understand the importance of what the scriptures God doing in these things. But how do you learn it?
He was saying,
Job learned it. He said, I have heard of thee with the hearing of the ear, but now I have seen thee, and I have abhorred myself and repenting back to nothing. I then learned it in seeing the Lord high and lifted up. He said, yea, save me, for I am undone. He said, yea. He learned humility. Peter learned it. When he heard a rooster crowing in the distance, to the eyes of Jesus Christ and understood for the first look into the blackness of his own heart and the weakness of his hand of faith, and yet literally his own. The point is that he must learn this constant walk with him by understanding that this is his command and mandate that I have laid upon us all. It's not an option. It's not something that things would go better if we did. I come to let this mind be in you. As we come to the conclusion of this worship service, may the Holy Spirit grant that today, taking the Word of God and the truth of that Word, that He Himself may begin to solve some of the spiritual problems that have been manifested in our assembly this year. A spirit of confusion fell upon the assembly last night. We were afflicted with the assembly by a spirit of confusion that was in. We could not even decide how to proceed, so let alone be given the wisdom to solve some of the most important problems of church polity that this assembly, this other assembly, will ever face. And I say, the repentance that is required is to be faithful and obedient to this biblical standard. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then, please God, the spirit of wisdom and discernment will accompany the spirit of gentleness and humility. Kevin, will you sing with me hymn 450? Hymn 450, we will stand as we sing. We will sing.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, rest and abide upon you and those you love, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Well, we don't have time to eat. The commissioners will please come onto the floor. Come on. Maybe if we can proceed before the commissioners get here, we can get finished with the business. The commissioners. is the Reverend Bush in the audience yet? Yet. Not. Yeah, that's all right.
I'm not sure whether administration can give you this or not, but they don't want it to be. At least taking that ticket, they think that they ought to be dealt with before you come to their budget.
Well,
I think even if it works, they do. We are on it. Yeah, taking that ticket, and administration be taking it. He made it a special order the other day to come to that money. Yes, I understand.
The committee on administration was made a special order at this time by previous action of this assembly.
Is that?
I'm making this announcement even before we reconvene. But. I say the committee was made a special order by previous action of this assembly. I'm going to take the liberty of ruling that we will complete the business on the floor before we take up the special order. Isn't that what you want? All right, just tell me to say so. Someone lost a pair of glasses. I have them up here. I saw the Reverend Paul Kettle back there a minute ago. There he is. Paul, will you please open the afternoon session with a word of prayer? Microphone 11. Let us pray. And God, my Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that Thou hast sent an angel on my Holy Spirit. Yes. That by His working in our lives, we are able to please Thee through Jesus Christ. Yes. We commit ourselves in this assembly again to Thee, praying that our thinking, our doing, our saying would honor Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. That we, humbly submitting to His law, might submit ourselves in one to the other, seeking His glory alone in all things. Do Thou forgive us our sin, and lead us according to Thy good will, we pray in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to ask Cameron. Is there a member of the committee, a vice chairman, a secretary of the committee of commissioners on Christian education? Is he going to head to report? Senator Decker, can you come?
Yes, ma'am. You are at the point on the report on Christian education for recommendation number 7 is under consideration. And if any of you get to that point and begin consideration, I'm going to ask that the chairman take it by the Arabic letter 7A, then 7B, then 7C, and so on.
Mr. Moderator, before we get started, we have a request from the chairman of the nominating committee that they're supposed to be meeting now, that they do not have a quorum. If there are any members of the Assembly Nominating Committee, please be excused to go to that meeting.
Is
there any room to the rear?
Microphone 16.
Sir.
Mr. Chairman.
I know we've changed the hours, and I think that we need to be reminded that with the clerk, please inform us of the hours that we're to meet today and tomorrow. We came back at 1 today, and I think we're coming back early tonight, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Moderator, we have passed the motion to change the hour to come back at 1 p.m. now. At 6, we have still reset for dinner at 5 and come back at 6:30 and extended at the present to 10:30 this evening. This only covers today. It does not cover tomorrow. There has to be another motion on that.
We're ready for the consideration of the report, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Moderator, I move that 7A be adopted. 7A is before the Assembly. I see no one speaking on my phone without objection. It is adopted. 7:15. Mr. Moderator, I move that 7B be adopted. I see no one speaking on my phone without objection. It is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 7C be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 7B be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 7E be adopted. I'm waiting a moment longer. I see no one speaking the microphone without objection. It is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 7F be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 7G be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 7H be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 8 be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Do you hear the difference it makes to have a different chairman up here in front? Good. Well, now, if you want to object, you better be at the microphone. But at this point, I will allow it if you want to speak to number 8. You better anticipate what's coming up and do it a mic if you are okay? All right. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman. It's a very serious tip, and another tip in Resolution 12 from past assemblies. Not this one. Go ahead. Mr. Moderator, I pray that the following 9A be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 9B be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 9C be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 9B be adopted. Without objection, it is adopted. Mr. Moderator, I move that 9E be adopted.
Without objection, it is adopted.
Mr. Moderator, I move that 9F be adopted.
Without objection, it is adopted.
Mr. Moderator, I move that 9G be adopted.
Without objection, it is adopted.
Mr. Moderator, I move that 9H be adopted.
Without objection, it is adopted.
Mr. Moderator, I move that 9R be adopted.
Without objection, it is adopted.
Mr. Moderator, I move that item number 10 be adopted.
Microphone number 5.
Under item number 7-2, I believe it is, it involves a closure of the levy of the Village of General Assembly operation, as long as it's understood that that motion carries that option. I'm perfectly happy, but I don't want anybody to get the idea that we change the rules of assembly operation simply by the report of a committee.
Just for the sake of verification, will you please make that reference again, because it's not 7-2, it must be something else.
9-B. 9-B. I apologize to the moderator in the assembly. I forgot which it was, 7 or 9. It has simply has to do with which cuts of Robert Greer is the official rule.
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Mr. Moderator, if I may speak to that, the reason we inserted that is because of the very reason that is how the General Assembly operates, and we did not want to go contrary to the General Assembly's normal operation.
Precisely. Not for third.
Third.
Just a minute. Third.
This matter is related from the Secretary of Florida. I believe that in the committee report, in recommendation number 10, the section in the committee report is actually entitled Scripture. Probably they should at least harmonize the title of each section.
It is sort of biblical education, says Scripture. Is there any objection to this third question?
All
right. It has been moved, number 10, the word of Scripture instead of biblical education, without objection. It is adopted.
Mr. Moderator, I move that item number 11,
Mr. Chairman.
You speak to this, number 12, I'm not so clear.
Mr. Moderator, we're going to be clear. Again, I'm sorry, I think we've lost track of things parliamentary for a moment.
The ruling from the chair without objection was to the editorial change or to
no,
the recommendation number 10?
No, sir, that's the recommendation number 10.
Roman number 1, title of content, urge, required courses covering the content of the entire Bible, B, required studies of the history, geography, and archaeology of the biblical world, C, required reading of the Bible, D, required memorization of scriptures, E, required comprehensive examination in biblical content.
Hold on a second. You are moving to amend
to amend the committee report prior to its adoption.
Is that loaded?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Did you tell us the list of what page that you found this on?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. This is page 706 in the Commission Appendix. What did you say?
Not at the moment, I think we can leave it, but I don't. Is there a second? The Holy Spirit, this time I think you'll notice that the source of this motion was taken in order to stop what I perceive to be a problem in the outlining of the section. Perhaps things have changed since I was taught English grammar, but the sections of the outline under Roman numeral 1 are not parallel. In Roman numeral 1a, English Bible is not parallel to B, required comprehensive content examination. I have some further difficulties with this statement in terms of the phrase English Bible. It seems to me that you're interested in Bible content, whether one learns it in Russian or French or German.
Okay.
Maybe even in Greek and Hebrew in preliminary curriculum. And I also have similar difficulties with A1 in my question because I do not know exactly what a block course is. And this one is about to eliminate that.
Let me ask you a question, Felicia. Are you supposed to stop the substance or intent of any part of this, or is it just a change in the way it's expressed and outlined and so on?
Ms. Mallory, there may be some difference of opinion on that, but I do not think that I'm changing the substance.
Yeah. You're looking at Bible content instead of English Bible, that's okay.
The effect is to straighten out the outline and bringing what are the Arabic numbers at the top of the letter.
Do you need any further discussion at this point? It needs to be read again. Do you have it, Mr. Craig? Craig doesn't have it yet. Will you read it again?
That's just the thing. The motion is that the section under Scripture on page 706 read as follows. Roman numeral 1, Bible content. A, the required courses covering the content of the entire Bible. B, the required study of the history, geography, and archaeology of the biblical world. C, the required reading of the Bible. D, required memorization of Scripture. E, required comprehensive examination in biblical content.
Mark Wilson.
John Dowling, golf first. I'd like to speak to Drumster. If you do this with just the time about English Bible, this is the common use in our British Church Order. Under some of our examinations and other requirements, and there may be any assistance and any structure, it is still our common and understood uses there.
Don Holder, are you unhappy about is that the only thing about this motion that you're unhappy about?
No, but that'll do.
All right.
Moderator, if I could slip in an announcement right now before anyone comes to the drug, we're still looking for a forum for the nominating committee. I wonder if Mr. Arthur Rogers, Frank Barker, Michael Bowles, or Terry Hurst, Chief Hurst, if any of these on the floor, please be excused and go to the nominating committee room in the room.
Do you have something to add to this discussion?
Suppose a substitute amendment. On addition to the
number. Let's hear what you have. Say, Senator Peer, that's for your attention. I'd like to amend the amendment to read Romans 1, English Bible content, and the rest of the amendment is so on. You'll accept a restore the word legally.
And if I get a second, I'd like to speak to them.
You're not going to say too much. You have a second? Alright, that part earlier, not 10 minutes. I said on the committee that formulated this curriculum, and we chose to keep the word English Bible because we did not want it to move into the group for the Hebrew languages, knowing that that was a possibility. These are the drop of knowledge of the Bible and thought which is important.
Amen.
Number two, Mark Ted.
Good Cunningham, no further president, Terry. I would like to support this amendment because I was also on that committee and we've been through this.
We don't have these things up here at the desk, and
the temporary Christ is doing. Somebody's got to get some truth up here for more to be voted on. Not so long. The question is really called for, and it'll be pretty fast if we can get to the door. If you're a favor, put in a question on this rewording of the matter under the word scripture in 7 OC.